we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
Foreigner by Justin Shaw. Produced by Olympia Studios in Durban and directed by Henry Diffenthal. Edward Gittam drowns after driving his car over a bridge and subsequently dies. However, he is brought back after a few minutes by paramedics and rushed to hospital, where he falls into a coma for a week. After waking up, he is released to carry on with his normal life, but finds that things will never be normal again. He starts having episodes where everyone in the world, it seems, disappears, and he's left completely alone before being violently shoved back to reality.
Let me tell you about the time I died. For me, it was fast. I had no time to prepare and no power to try and fight it. It was the worst kind of fear I'd ever felt. But it's nothing like what you think. There's no tunnel and no light at the end. It's like nothing physical you've ever seen, and so can't be explained to somebody who's never crossed over to the other side, to the spirit world. But I was only there for an instant.
Quick. Let's get him out and check if he's breathing.
Before they brought me back.
Who is he? ID says it's Edward Gittam, 33 years old.
What's his status?
He's not breathing.
Okay, let's start CPR.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Status?
Oh, he's still not breathing.
Keep trying.
Come
keep
on,
trying.
Mister. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He got him. Oh, thank God. Let's get him to Sacred Heart right now.
Okay, let me take his seat.
Come on, I've got him. Let me go. Okay, here we go. Guys.
I woke up a week later, confused and in a hospital bed. Was I alive? I wasn't sure. As much as I recognized everything around me, everything seemed foreign. But a voice had assured me I was actually alive.
Mr. Gittam? Mr. Gittam? Mr. Gittam? Mr. Gittam, can you hear me?
Mr. Gittam, my name is Dr. Andre. You were in an accident, Mr. Gittam, but you survived. You're lucky to be alive.
Alive?
Yes, you're alive. Your car skidded off a bridge and plunged into the river below it. You drowned, Mr. Gittam. We aren't sure how long you were gone, but we brought you back.
What?
Mr. Gittam, you died. You were clinically dead before we were able to resuscitate you, but you're fine now.
I knew exactly what he was saying, and exactly what had happened to me. But still, it was as if I'd dreamed it all and woken up. I remembered everything, but I wasn't sure what was real anymore. Am I going to be okay?
Well, besides drowning, you didn't seem to sustain any brain damage or any other significant injuries. All the tests we've done so far have come back negative. However, I still want to keep you here for a week so we can keep an eye on you.
Thanks.
You can consider yourself lucky, Mr. Gittam. You've got a second chance at life. Not many people do.
The week came and went, and all my tests came back negative. Physically, I was fine, and they discharged me with a clean bill of health. I was ready to carry on with my normal life. But what happened next was something I could never have imagined, and it was far from normal. In an instant, everyone was gone. All the people in the world, it seemed, had just disappeared. And I was left alone. Completely alone. Was I dreaming? Had I passed out? It didn't feel like a dream, but how could it be real? Where was everybody? Hello? Anybody there? The world was quiet all around me. Everything had remained the way it was. The trees, the buildings, the air. But I was the only thing left alive in all of it, and it scared me a lot. Mostly because it felt familiar. Like a feeling I'd only felt once before. That night I went over the bridge. The night I died. But why would I feel like that now? I was alive, wasn't I? I walked around a little, very carefully, afraid of what might be waiting for me around each corner. I'd gone about a block when it all suddenly changed again. What happened?
What happened? You've been walking around like a crazy person. Like nobody else even exists. You're lucky the traffic avoided you, or you'd be dead.
I'm sorry, I must have blacked out there for a minute.
You look pretty awake to me.
What exactly did you say I was doing?
It's like I said, you were just walking around like you were in your own little world, like no one else ever even existed.
I'm sorry, I'm not really sure what happened to me.
I don't know. Maybe you should see a doctor.
Well, Mr. Gittam, all your test results have come back negative again. Like I told you before, physically you're fine, but the episode you told me about does concern me. Although I've never heard of anything like it, I think it could have been triggered by a kind of post-traumatic stress.
You think that's all it is?
I'm not sure exactly, but again, there doesn't seem to be anything physically wrong with you.
So what do you suggest, then?
Look, a lot of people go for counseling after traumatic experiences. The hospital offers free group sessions every Thursday. I recommend that you go to these. If medicine can't help you, then maybe a bit of therapy might.
I went to therapy that Thursday, and I hoped that I could find some answers. But no one in the group, including the psychologist, could explain the strange episode I had experienced. Nobody had ever heard of anything like it before. I got all the easy answers, that it was just stress from the accident and it was nothing serious. I just needed to talk about it and try and get some rest. They paired me up with this kid called Ricky as part of some buddy plan they had going, but I knew he wouldn't understand. I mean, I could hardly understand it and couldn't even explain it properly. Well, maybe it was just stress. I left that night quite relieved. Maybe I just needed to talk about it, get it off my chest. However, it wasn't until I arrived home that night that all the relief disappeared, and I began to think that my problem was something far more than stress.
Hey, pirate. How you doing, pretty kitty? Did you miss me? Of course you did. Good kitty. Well, how about some music, hmm? It's been a long day. There we go. You hungry, pirate? I am. Well, what do we have? Olives. Yeah, that's a nice start. Well, it's much better. What now? Pirate, are you playing around with Daddy's stereo? Oh, come on, Pirate, not now. Please, Cat, I'm tired. No, Pirate. Pirate? Pirate? What's wrong with the stereo now? You're still on. Why aren't you making any noise? Where's that cat now? Pirate! Pirate! What on earth was that? What the hell was that? Hello? Hello? Oh, maybe it's the wind. It sounds like it's coming from Mrs. Swanson's house. I'd better get over there and see. Mrs. Swanson! Mrs. Swanson!
As I ran, something happened. With each step, the world around me changed. And I gradually began to realize that everything I recognized, my street, my neighborhood, my own house, had changed. And yet stayed the same all at once. And then that feeling came upon me, the one I'd felt that day at the bridge, and a few days ago in the city. It was happening again. Everyone had disappeared, and I was left alone in the world again. At least, that's what I thought. What were those sounds? If everyone was gone, where were they coming from? Something was out there. I could feel it. I couldn't see anyone, but I knew I wasn't alone. Who's there? Who are you? Mrs. Swanson.
Yes, it's me. Are you okay? What are you doing in the middle of the street at this time of the night?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Swanson. I thought I heard something out here. I was just coming to check to see if you were all right.
I'm fine. Are you sure you're okay? Who were you talking to? I didn't see anyone.
Well, I'm not sure. I thought I saw someone.
I was worried. I was calling out to you for a while. I thought you couldn't hear me.
I'm sorry. I was just... I'm sorry about that.
Are you sure you're okay? You look a little pale.
No, I'm fine, Mrs. Swanson. Thanks. And I'm sorry I bothered you so late at night.
That's okay. As long as you're okay.
Oh, yes. Yes, thanks. I'm fine. But I wasn't fine. What was happening to me? Was I losing my mind? What were those sounds? My mind kept taking me back to that feeling I had inside the episodes. The one I felt when I died. Did it have something to do with that? When I died, did it change me? I had to know what was happening to me. Ricky, the kid from the therapy group, was a computer genius. He was being counseled for severe depression and repeated suicide attempts. I got him to search the internet for any similar or identical cases to mine. If Sacred Heart had never heard of this phenomenon before, I was going to find out about it myself.
Oh.
I managed to find what you were looking for.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Ricky.
Yeah. Just don't get caught with it. I had to hack into a lot of different classified hospital medical files to get this.
Oh, I understand, and I appreciate it, Ricky. Let's have a look. What have we got? Eugene Hills, 40-year-old stockbroker, died from a heart attack on the 24th of March, 97, and resuscitated a few minutes later by paramedics.
There's quite a few of them, all with the same stats. All died and all resuscitated shortly afterwards. I pulled all the local ones, so everyone on the list is living somewhere in the city, or at least they were at the time of their accidents.
Well, that's perfect. Well, thanks so much again. I owe you big.
No, don't worry about it. It's cool. I just hope it helps you find out what's happening to you.
Well, we'll soon find out, won't we? Right now, I guess Mr. Hills is as good a place to start as any. Well, Mr. Hills, I certainly hope you're in.
Hi.
Mrs. Hills?
Can I help you?
Well, actually, I was looking for Mr. Hills. Are you his wife?
I'm Mrs. Hills. What's this about?
Well, ma'am, I was wondering if it would be possible to speak with your husband.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Hills passed away in 1997.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My condolences, ma'am. I'm sorry for asking, but was it from the heart attack?
Why are you asking me all these questions? Who are you?
It's a long story, Mrs. Hills. I'm Edward Gittam. I'm doing private research on cases that seem similar to some strange occurrences in my life since my own near-fatal accident. May I come in and speak with you?
Well, I'm not sure. You seem to have a decent face. Anyway, I'm intrigued. Come in. But you can't stay long, though.
Thanks. I really appreciate your time.
The heart attack was just the beginning. It's what happened afterwards. He killed himself a few months later.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think it was for the best. He was never the same afterwards. The blackouts, the hallucinations. I think it was just his time to...
Mrs. Hills, I am so sorry, again.
I'm sorry, I can't...
I understand. And I do apologize for dredging up the past. I'm sorry to have bothered you. I couldn't bear to pry any further. The poor lady was obviously still devastated. But at least I had found something out. Blackouts, hallucinations, the same symptoms I was having... But it wasn't enough. I needed to know more. I needed something solid, an explanation. Poor Mr. Hills. He was never the same, she said. I wonder if that's what drove him to kill himself. I hope not, seeing as he'd done it only a few months after his initial escape from death. I hoped that the next person on the list would have some sort of explanation. But they didn't. They, too, had died from a separate, unrelated incident a few months after the initial death. And then, one by one, I scratched off each person on the list, my hand trembling and my stomach tied in knots. Every one of them dead within months of being resuscitated, and no one willing to tell me their story. Did the same fate await me? My mind raced. What was going on? There was one more name on the list. Peter O'Neill, 12 years old, drowned in his pool and resuscitated by his mother shortly afterwards. I prayed that she'd have the right answers. Please be home.
Who is it?
Mrs. O'Neill. Mrs. O'Neill, my name's Edward Gittam. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about your son, Peter.
Are you from the newspaper?
No, ma'am, I'm not. Look, I'm sorry, I know this is a bit weird, but I know your son drowned and was brought back.
What exactly is this about?
Well, ma'am, you see, the same thing happened to me.
He was a good swimmer, you know. He always used to swim by himself. I should have been watching him, though.
Mrs. O'Neill, I'm really sorry for asking, but can you tell me about what happened after the accident? Was there anything strange about him? Anything out of the ordinary?
Yes. Yes, come to think of it, there was. About a week after the accident, we were watching TV when he suddenly got up and he started fiddling with the set, complaining that it was broken and that he couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fine. I just couldn't understand. And when I told him that, it was like he couldn't hear me. Then he turned around and started calling my name. Well, I kept answering him, telling him I was right there. For a while, I thought he'd gone blind, but he started running around the house as if he could see perfectly, calling to me and asking me where I was. Well, I kept answering him, but he couldn't hear me. And he was crying. I didn't know what to do. A few minutes later, he snapped out of it, and, well, I rushed him straight to hospital, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him.
The hospital couldn't find anything wrong with me either. What did you do next?
Well, the hospital recommended therapy, so I took him.
Group therapy?
No. No, it was one-on-one with a lady psychologist. Well, she seemed very good, and I thought Peter was in the right hands.
Did she help him?
No. No, the episodes persisted, and, well, they even got worse. At first, he told me that everyone would just disappear, and he would be left completely alone. But then he started to hear things, he said, and see things. Things that he could only describe as monsters.
Monsters?
Well, he said that they were after him, that they wanted to hurt him, and he couldn't run away because there were so many of them.
What did the psychologist say?
Well, she said that medication probably wouldn't help and began looking into other forms of treatment for Peter. She said she had this theory that Peter's spirit might be confused, thinking Peter's body was dead and was trying to separate itself from the spirit.
Well, what did you think?
Oh, I thought she was crazy. I couldn't believe that she was experimenting on my son with all that spiritual mumbo-jumbo. Heaven knows what she was filling his head with. If you ask me, she was the reason Peter started doing so badly. She drove him over the edge.
So what did you do?
Well, I stopped taking Peter to see her. It was then that I...
What happened, Mrs. O'Neill? Please, I need to know.
Oh, one night, he had another episode. It was like he was fighting something invisible. I don't think he could take it anymore. And then his heart gave in and he died. Only this time I couldn't bring him back.
I'm sorry. You never found out what was wrong with him?
Well, the only person with a theory was the psychologist, but I never believed her. If she had just treated Peter the way she was supposed to, he'd be alive right now.
And you never thought that she might have been onto something?
Oh, never. That's why when I found out she had treated other patients with the same problem, and they had all died as well, we took her to court and had her struck from the medical roll.
Who's we?
Well, surviving family members who also felt her practices were unethical.
Do you remember any of their names?
Well, let me see. There were the Johnstons, the Adlers, the Shaws, and Mrs. Hills. Well, what's that?
It's a list of all the people in the city who went through the same ordeal. And all the names you just mentioned are on this list, too. What did you say that doctor's name was?
Oh, if I were you, I wouldn't have anything to do with her. She's no good. You know, I fear the same thing could happen to you if she were to get her hands on you.
Mrs. O'Neill, I'm afraid the same thing is already happening to me. She might be my only hope in finding out what's really going on.
Oh, her name was Rush. Dr. Nadine Rush.
Dr. Nadine Rush. I found her address and went to her house. If she couldn't help me, I didn't even want to think about what would happen. I was running out of time. I was getting that strange feeling again. Come on.
Hello? Who's there?
Dr. Rush. Dr. Nadine Rush.
That?
It was the worst possible timing. The one person I needed to see was about to disappear along with everyone else. Dr. Rush, my name is Edward Gittam. I've read about your work with patients who die and are resuscitated.
I don't practice anymore. Sorry, I can't help you.
Please, I don't know what's happening to me. I just need to ask you some questions. My stomach turned. It was happening again. The world was silent, and only I was left in it. But almost as soon as I felt everyone leave, I felt something else arrive. Who's there? Who are you? Suddenly, something flashed into sight. For a second, two giant shapes appeared and then disappeared the next moment. I froze. Were these the monsters that young Peter O'Neill said he saw?
Wake up, Edward. Wake up. Wake up, Edward. Wake up.
Wake up, Edward. Wake up. Edward. Relax. Relax, you're in my house. You're fine. You're one of them, aren't you?
One of whom?
I used to call you foreigners. It seemed the best way to describe what was happening to you. Do you know what's happening to you?
Actually, that's why I came to you. I need your help.
Help? I'm afraid that I can't offer you any help. All I can give you are a few answers. Whether or not you choose to believe what I tell you is up to you.
Well, at this point, I'll take anything.
All right. How long ago did you die?
About 3 weeks ago.
And ever since then, you've been feeling different?
Mm-hmm.
Like the world had somehow changed?
Yes.
You couldn't explain it, but everything you knew was suddenly foreign. And then the episode started.
Yes.
Are you sure you want to know why?
Yes.
You might not like what you hear.
I need to know.
All right. When you died, your spirit began crossing over to the other side, the spirit world, which is where it should have gone. But because you were brought back from the dead, your spirit was confused. It was still trying to live in the spirit world. That's why everything seemed foreign. When you came back, you were seeing the world through the eyes of your physical body as well as those of your spirit.
And the episodes?
The episodes occur when the spirit essentially overpowers the body and tries to live separately from it, as it believes it should. It crosses over to a place where the rest of us can't see and you are not able to see us.
The spirit world?
No. Not the spirit world, and that's where the other problem starts.
Well, where is it?
Do you believe in God, in good and evil?
Yes, I suppose so.
In almost every culture and religion, there exists the concept of good and evil. Many people think there is a constant battle between the two sides to maintain some kind of balance between them. Of course, we can't see that battle because it exists on another plane, one where mortals are excluded.
But what if
I believe that you are now in the process of crossing over to that plane, right into the middle of that war that has raged since the beginning of time. You can hear them shouting, can't you? Their swords striking,
Is that what those horrible sounds are?
I believe it is.
Well, how do we stop it?
I don't know. That's why I said I had answers and not help. I don't think it can be stopped. Except...
Except what?
The only way your spirit will find its way to where it needs to be is if your body is no longer holding it back.
What? What are you saying? The only cure for this is if I die?
I did tell you, you might not like what you hear.
But that's ridiculous. There must be another way.
Why do you think all my other patients died? Because I let them? No, it's because there is nothing I or anyone else could have done to help them.
Well, how do you know? How do you know it's not just that you can't find another way?
Because you cannot fight against fate, against your own destiny. Your fate now lies on the other side. You started crossing over. The fact that science was able to bring you back doesn't change that. This is bigger than medicine and anything you can see. It's the natural order of things.
No. No, I won't accept that that's all I can do, sitting around waiting to die.
Is it really so bad? Is death what you're really afraid of? Because let me tell you, I watched all my patients go through the horror of having their spirits beaten and torn in a war that they were never meant to be a part of. As soon as those flickering images you're seeing at the moment come into focus, you'll also come into focus for them. And when you do, it won't matter that you're not supposed to be there. They'll make you part of it, and you won't stand a chance.
So what then?
I can't tell you what to do, but you're running out of time. Your spirit won't last long the way it's going right now.
So I don't have any option but to die?
It's just your body that dies, Edward, in order that your spirit can cross over to where it's supposed to be. Isn't that better than being what you are now? A foreigner? You're not supposed to be alive here, and your spirit is not supposed to be moving in the direction it is. Isn't it a scarier thing to not belong where you are?
No. No, that can't be the only way. I won't believe it. It can't.
Edward, please.
No. No, your patients died because you didn't know how to help them.
No.
Well, I'll find a way. I am not going to die.
Edward, you're wasting your time. Please listen to me. You're running out of time. Good luck.
I got in my car and drove at a high speed. I didn't know where I was going. I just drove. All the time, Nadine's words echoed through my mind. What if she was right? What if death was the only way out? Was it really all that bad? And then suddenly, everything in my world went quiet, and that strange feeling overtook me again. It was happening again. Only this time I could see everything so clearly. Oh, God! It was a war, just like Nadine said. I could see them. Giant angels and devils fighting each other. It was them shouting. It was them screaming. And for the first time, I began to understand my fate. And then they looked at me. And that was the worst fear I'd ever felt. Worse than that day I died. Finally, it was clear. I was a foreigner. I didn't belong here. And my worst fear wasn't dying anymore. It was being stuck in a place I wasn't supposed to be. And as I swerved in vain to try and get away, fate, it seemed, had stepped in to guide me. So let me tell you again about the time I died. The time I really died. It's not as bad as it may seem. I think the inevitability of it reassured me. It's something that happens to us all. And as for me, I'd rather be where I belong than be a foreigner.
Quickly, pull him out and check if he's breathing.
Who is he?
ID says he's Edward Gittam, 33 years old.
What's his status?
He's gone. We're too late.
In tonight's story, Foreigner, by Justin Shaw, you heard Roger Service as Edward, Frank Graham as Dr. Andre, Vera Clare as Mrs. Hill, Catherine Dunstan as Mrs. Swanson, Merle Wayne as Mrs. O'Neill, Tommy Reed as Ricky, and Caroline Smart as Dr. Nadine Rush. The play was produced and recorded by Olympia Studios in Durban and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.